Hello, and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and today is Wednesday, which means we get a small dose of literature and psychology. For those who don't know or are new to the podcast, Literature Nuggets are smaller episodes on this podcast that showcase a poem, a spoken word piece, or excerpt from a book that after offers reflection or conversation. The goal of each Wednesday episode is to bounce off that piece of literature and have a conversation off the page. And I just can't wait to dive in because this season I have teamed up with reoccurring guests, my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, in our 5-part series on self-acceptance. I like to think of it as a conversation where psychology meets literature. We are so excited to come together, not just as two Black women, but also as aunt and niece, to talk about real issues within self-acceptance that don't really get talked about enough. PositivePsychology.com, the definition of self-acceptance, they say, self-acceptance is the state of complete acceptance of oneself. True self-acceptance is embracing who you are without any qualifications, conditions, or exceptions. I love that. And with this series, we are hoping that these episodes will not just inspire you all, but push you to reflect, to adapt positive habits instead of toxic habits, to ask for help, to start your healing journey, and to grow so that you can be healthy in your mind, your heart, and your spirit. Because that's where true transformation starts, not on the outside, but on the inside. Also, if you all like this series and would like to just, you know, have more things like this on the podcast for Wednesdays, let me know. You can email me at tatelauren72@gmail.com, or you can message me on Instagram at laurentatebooks. So that being said, today we are talking about colorism. This is part 3 in our 5-part series of self-acceptance, and because we are a literature platform, it's only right that we start off with a poem. And today we have a beautiful reading of a poem titled Colorism, which is written by Camila Diabate. So I hope you guys just enjoy and learn something from today's poem, as well as Dr. Van Dyke and I's conversation about colorism. All right.
Colorism, a poem by Camila Diabate, read by Destiny Shireen. Am I light enough? Am I dark enough? When I got on the bus in 1955, would I sit in the front or the back of the bus? The color and tenderness of my bust, whether my skin be charcoal or orange like rust. Pale white skin, light skin, the right skin, but supposedly my brothers, sisters, my kin are not judged by what's within. Is it a sin to have a tint 10 times darker than yours? The melanin in my pores dictated whether I was rich or poor. What side of the door? Field or house? With the secrets kept quiet as a mouse's footsteps. Chinese, Indian, the Aztecs, the real ones, the aspect. Is it corrupt or correct? Derogatory phrases, life-changing phases. People judge by the color of their faces, judge by their races and ethnicity. Country or city full of pity and sorrow, yearning for a better tomorrow. Unable to grow, looking for a new face to borrow with a different color. Why is it they turn the other cheek when they find out my skin is bleak? Not appealing because my pigment is concealing the lighter side. Dark as the place we hide, or bright as the morning sky, or yellow like the sun, or brown as the earth's sun. Or maybe it's surface, because like many eyes and minds, we only see the top layer. But my purpose isn't defined by the shade of my skin, eyes, or hair. For we are all 60% water and 206 bones, and the color of my bricks do not express what resides in my home. Racism, colorism, sexism, the other ism. Distorted by what's on the outside, I see through this clear prism the keys to a colorblind prison, the resting place for the souls that have risen. No need for bleach, because if life is a beach and we play in the sand, color does not matter on woman nor man. In a world where lighter is better but darker is worse, and white is beautiful but black is cursed. If the world is supposedly diverse, it hurts to live submersed in a hearse of the universe. And if life can't be rehearsed, why must I flee? My birth can't be reversed to make a lighter me. They tell me I'm ugly. They say a meteor came down and struck me, and I'm lucky I'm still alive. To thrive with a color that's darker than tan, to strive for more than colors on the back of my hand. Black is beauty, whether the shade be purple or red like rubies. This isn't the apartheid, so why must I hide? From the people of the same tribe, same vibe, same mother, same mind. They called us niggers and wenches. We still live in the trenches because we lynch ourselves, telling our brothers and sisters that they're too black to be held. They don't want to be black. They have to be mixed with Indian, Southside, or Caribbean. The slave masters told us we couldn't be white, but the next best thing was light. And we wanted our kids to live, so we told them to bleach their skin, to hate themselves, to be close to the color of freshly made linen from the cotton we picked. And our lives were recreated and depicted by the vision with no precision, like being black was my decision. But black is beauty. And maybe the reason the police shoot me or the pro-black white kids salute me, but let the truth speak. Mother Africa birthed us. Father Sky didn't burn us, but made us reflect the purpose or the definition of perfect. Not worthless, but worthy. Not dirty, but purely created. Black. B, beautiful and gracious. L, long-lasting braveness. A, aspiring to greatness. C, captive to the segregated playlist. K, kings and queens, hear me say this. Love your skin, love who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the shade of cream or dark like tar. You are not ugly or full of scars. You are beautifully and wonderfully made, just like the stars. Black is beauty.
I hope you guys enjoyed that reading of the poem titled Colorism by Camila Diabate. And to discuss the topic of colorism, I have with me today my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, who is a resident psychologist for Fox 2 Detroit and WDIV Channel 4, and has been featured on Living the Life and Let It Rip, where she discussed all various issues on mental health. She also hosted a teen show called Teen Voices for Real on 90.9 FM. She has over 20 years counseling with children, adolescents, and adults with various issues. Dr. Van Dyke maintains a private practice in Livonia, Michigan. Welcome again, Auntie.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. So just getting into colorism, what do you think colorism is?
Oh boy, you know what? I was thinking about that and I said, I want to start out with a children's rhyme that captures the definition of colorism, and then go into the actual definition of it. The children's rhyme goes, if you're black, stay back. If you're brown, stick around. If you're mellow, if you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're white, you're all right.
Wow.
So when we talk about colorism, this children's rhyme really speaks to what the definition of colorism is. Mm-hmm. And it refers to the discrimination based on skin color.
Yeah.
Disadvantages people with darker skin while it privileges people who have whiter skin.
Yep.
That's the definition. And it's colorism find its roots in racism.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for the definition. With that rhyme, how long have you known that? Like most of your life?
You know, my mom growing up would, I can't even say my mom.
Yes.
I remember reading it like years ago, when I was a younger, child, mm-hmm. I remember the rhyme. And when you're a child, you really don't know exactly. You kind of have an idea what it's talking about, but because, and me being of darker brown skin, mm-hmm. Not light skin, I would think that it would have affected me. If you're black, stay back. If you're brown, stick around. Yes. I was considered, a darker brown, And I believe that it, in terms of my personal experience, in terms of the discrimination piece, I didn't experience it specifically, but I know a lot of people, when I was in high school, that got teased because they were dark skinned. The guys would say, oh, you black.
Yeah. Yeah. And And so I was just saying, listening to you, hearing your pieces of your story and stuff, thinking about what listeners had said, and when I asked my friends as well, is that many people had said that, you know, when they were, you know, when they were younger, they felt like they knew that the black boys always picked the light skinned girls over them because they were dark skinned. So as, you know, as close as they were to being white or whatever, that's who was normally the most attractive.
Yeah, and that is true. It's really interesting you brought that up, because when I didn't date until I was a little older, like 18. I didn't have a boyfriend in high school. Okay. But even in high school, although I did not have a boyfriend, it was the lighter complected guys that liked the darker skinned girls. And as I got older and I started dating, all of my boyfriends, and I didn't have a lot, I had like three, in the exception of one was brown skin, but the rest of them were light complected. And I remember my mom saying, are you color stricken? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Just like, all of your boyfriends are yellow. I said, I don't choose a guy based on their skin color. Right. How about yellow guys, the lighter skin guys are choosing me?
Yeah.
And we used to have an old saying, my mom did used to say, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. That was an old saying as well.
And that's still around, so I always like that.
But I wanted to say, just in terms of, for those people who don't understand where colorism stems from, I really want to talk about its origin in just in terms of how do we get here? In terms of colorism. So again, it's referring to the discrimination. We're talking about a skin color. And you know, it involved when the enslavement started out with colorism involved when the enslavement of people was common practice. Okay. So when enslavers were typically, they gave preferential treatment to enslaved people with lighter skin. And during the enslavement of black people, those with lighter skin tones, and those were the children of the slave and their master. They were the ones that received that preferential treatment.
Right.
And so because of that preferential treatment, you know, people began to, when, you know, because we're talking about the darker skin, they were in the fields.
Right.
And the lighter skin people
in the house.
Were in the house.
Yeah.
But when the enslavers, when they raped, they were raped.
Yep.
And they were biracial, so they came out with lighter skin.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons for the favoritism was because the black people with the lighter skin had more European features. They looked more white.
Passing, kind of.
Yes. A lot of them, pass for white. And that's where that preferential treatment stems from. And so, and people need to know that they were children of enslaved people who were, you know, sexually assaulted. And I think that started with the origin, and then it carried on beyond that. I mean, so now we're here, you know, in the United States. It's going really, really strong currently, and it has been for, you know, a while.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people struggle with it. And even then, too, I was just thinking about, like, because I'm not, and that's one question I kind of didn't ask listeners, but as people listen to this episode, to wonder if people my age struggle with that. Like, and I know people struggle being discriminated against, but if people struggle with looking outwards, like at a certain person who is a certain skin tone, and, you know, realize that you're treating them differently, or maybe you have different reactions or something towards that. So that also just made me think about that. And I don't think personally I have, but I know that when I was, well, recently, because when I was in college, you know, I went and I had longer hair, I would always get the "are you mixed" question, as if that's better than, you know, being Black. Something, somebody has to be white in your family, somebody has to be Native American, Indian, or something to be explained for why, I guess, you're beautiful or something in their eyes, or however that makes sense. But
yeah,
that I was like, no, I don't like this.
And what were your, what were your thoughts when you got those types of statements because of your hair and
yeah,
longer hair and your skin color?
Did
you feel, when I say thoughts, did you feel a sense of what? Were you confused? Were you?
I wasn't confused. I wasn't even angry. I was disappointed because unfortunately I've never had high expectations for men and how they've seen me, so I've never relied on, you know, their interpretations or observations of me. But I was like, that's disappointing that you would feel like, to be attracted to a Black woman, that she would have to be half of something else. And so I would question that, like, why is that a thing for you? Like, why do you think that? And then I even, you know, questioned that even more when I shaved my head, because I'm like, now I have no hair for you to define me as mixed or to assume certain things. So that, you know, that was kind of a piece of my journey. But yeah, it was more disappointment than anything.
And it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, there are a lot of findings that definitely indicate that women of different hues, different skin, they do have distinctive experiences based on their skin tone.
Yeah.
And as you talk about your experience, my experience was with guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're pretty to be dark.
Mm.
You're pretty to have dark skin, as if dark is ugly.
Right.
And I could look at them and go, what?
Yeah.
And then they would look silly, and then, right, you know, and then
backhanded compliments.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, sorry, backhanded compliments.
Yes, a backhanded compliment. Yeah.
Yeah.
A backhanded compliment. So as if there's no such thing of a person who's darker brown, you can't be pretty unless you're light skinned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's, yeah, because, and when I had, like I was saying, when I had asked my friends before, they had those experiences as well. And I had even asked one of my close friends who was a lot much lighter than me, and she was saying, you know, yeah, people do think I'm mixed because, you know, I wear, you know, my hair in braids and this and that. And, you know, a lot of times they ask, you know, or did you put hair in that? Because a lot of people don't, you know, don't think that, I guess, dark skinned women or light skinned women can have certain, can possess certain qualities. So then they just want to put limits and boundaries on the way that you look and assign you those things. And so, yeah, and I know, you know, for depending on what you've been through and what you've experienced, that can be more traumatic than it can for others. Like, it hasn't been traumatic for me, but I know that matters a lot, especially, you know, that ties into as well, when we were talking about representation, you know, wanting to see people like you as well.
Yes. And that was one of the things that I did not get an opportunity to see. I did not get an opportunity when I was a teenager to see movie stars, to see models
that
were my skin complexion. You know, I was, and I think attractiveness plays a part when you're talking about colorism. I think if you're brown, but if you are attractive, if you have a slender nose, I think all of the features also go along with it.
Yes.
You have darker skin. And if you're darker skinned and you are, I'm putting this in quotation marks, considered attractive, then that's also another form of treatment that a person would get from interviewers, boyfriends, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that for me growing up, I think that I was compared to looking like Whitney Houston when I was when I was in college. And I would get people when I was at Oakland University, I would literally get people to stop me and be go, oh my God, you look like Whitney Houston.
Wow.
I know, sometimes I still get that today, even though I'm old.
And beautiful.
I don't know about that. But that was something that, so for me being darker complected, I always got compliments based on how I looked. You have high cheekbones. You know, I had long hair.
Yeah.
So, and I think, like you said, it plays into if you are darker skin color, although there are disadvantages, and we're going to go into that a little bit more.
Yeah. Just
in terms of what those disadvantages look like.
When you have skin.
I think if you have dark skin and you are considered attractive, I think that yet puts you in another category. You can still get discriminated against.
Yeah.
There's a bit of, I don't even know what word I use, but there's a bit of, I don't even know the term.
Okay.
Advantages.
Okay, yeah.
I would say. If you're considered, I'm putting in quotation, attractive.
Mm-hmm. It's like, however, the door opens a little bit more for you.
The doors open a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I've never been turned down for a job. I never had a problem with guys, dating, marriage. I never had a problem with any of those types of things. And I, you know, maybe it is because people view me as attractive. I am attractive, but you know, back then more attractive, I was younger. So it didn't touch me or come across as a disadvantage for me. However, the guys, the brown skin guys, because that's really what I was attracted to. Dark skin guys like Michael Jordan. But those type of skin tones were guys that were darker skin were attracted to the lighter skinned women. So I never got an opportunity at all.
Yeah. Wow. And I still kind of see that today too. I mean, you know, you're like, oh, okay. And that's his wife. Like, okay, I understand. But then too, when you were talking about the people thought you were Whitney Houston or looked like her, you know, you strongly favored her when you were younger. That made me think of, I don't know if you know the actress Lupita, but she's very dark skinned and she is African. Yeah. And see that, I know, obviously that's a way that a media affects it too, because when she came up on the scene, everybody kind of started paying just a little bit more attention to dark skinned women who had short hair, and they're like, oh, you're pretty. But then it would even be, again, that backhanded compliment, because they would be like, oh, you look like Lupita, just because I'm dark skinned though, and I'm pretty. That's the only way you could make sense of it, by calling me Lupita. Like, oh gosh.
I really do think that's really the colorism.
Yeah.
It's psychological abuse.
Yes.
It's really, when we're talking about from a psychological standpoint, because, you know, everything you said, like you said, when Lupita came on board, people looked at dark skinned people a little bit, maybe you're and pretty.
Yeah.
And what's the other name, the one, she's in Tyler Perry movies.
Tika something. Yeah, love her.
I love her too. Now they're beautiful black woman.
Yeah,
like, oh, okay, well,
yeah,
maybe, you know, darker skinned women can get certain roles, but they're still not roles like a Halle Berry or some other actresses.
Yeah.
They're fair skinned that I can't name right now.
I know. I was trying
to remember. I'm thinking. I'm
yeah,
like,
exactly. I know what you mean.
But like I was saying, I believe when we start pitting each other against skin tone, black people, it's a form of psychological abuse. And it perpetuates and internalizes racism. And it does affect people psychologically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. It does. And there's a lot of research that educationally, financially, relationally, I mean, all of it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the conversations that I encourage families, black families, is to have conversations about not having this pitting one child, because I get this with siblings.
One
child will be treated differently because they're lighter, or you may have a parent that may favor a child because the child is of lighter skin than a child that is of darker skin. And I think our maternal figures play a huge part in that.
Yes.
Grandmothers and aunts and mothers, our primary, adults and people in our lives who really can be the driving force behind skin tone biases, because that it happens in the family.
Yes.
I counsel it where people who have darker skin say that I was treated differently because I was the dark one in the family.
Wow.
And I think that those types of things it's damaging. And I think it's a conversation that need to be brought up if that's going on in families.
Yeah, I agree. And then too, like just what you were talking about is that, I think it's important to understand and clarify that, colorism, both light skin and dark skin people and everything in between, both can experience colorism, but they have different consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, that pours into your jobs, your relationships. I mean, even the things that are happening now, with the deaths of so many of our, brown brothers and sisters, most of them, at least as I know, are dark skinned.
Yes.
So there's a different target on your back from society.
Yes.
No, we're not going to let you in this door. We're not going to let you represent this. No, you can't be the head of that. I remember one story. Oh, I bet somebody remembers it better than I do, but it was a while ago, but recent enough to, still make an impact. And so this one woman, she was dark skinned and she had won a beauty contest. It was in a different country, but she had won a beauty contest. She was so beautiful. And the people were so outraged, Auntie, that they took away her winning and gave it to the light skin runner up.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those types of things.
Wow. And that is something, but it goes back to our history.
Yeah.
Where after slavery, there used to be this society called the Blue Vein Society.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the preference for lighter skin and how the black community mm-hmm. and black people showed preference for and treated another black person, better because of that person's skin tone. So when you talk about taking that, what was it away?
The satchel or the,
Yeah, the satchel away.
Yeah.
Was that in the black community?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. And that's why I brought up the point how in black communities, you have, the Blue Vein Society. Like I was saying, if you were really light and you were light enough, the Blue Vein Society was an example for light-skinned black people. They could get into the clubs and they the light-skinned black people. They had exclusive clubs. It's an example of the black community pitting. This is after slavery.
Yeah.
It's history of how the Black people, how we began to pit one against the other, you know, Black, dark skin pitting against, you know, light skin, and ostracizing anyone who, you know, didn't look white.
Yeah.
Paper bag tests. That was another situation that came up, and the paper bag test determined if someone was allowed to enter into the churches and the nightclubs and the fraternities. So, and if people were darker than the color of that brown paper bag, then you were not allowed to enter.
Right.
And then we know the enslavement of the one drop rule. That was the enslavement of Africans in, you know, Africans in America brought to us. The one which impacts our definition and impression of the varying shades. And that was based in a 1662 Virginia law that addresses the mixed race. Anyone who had one speck of Black in them, one Black ancestor, was considered Black.
Yeah, so these, and then, like you said, that's been a part of our history, and it's that's where that stems from.
Yeah, and it's sad because
like it I is.
Before, it's psychologically damaging, and it really does affect a person in all different areas.
Yes,
and, you know, and we see this, and just in terms of in the literature, how you know the disadvantages of dark-skinned people. There are research that states that a darker skinned person, it has a disadvantage of getting married. They make less money than a person of lighter skin. They're highly likable to go to prison and be imprisoned and jailed than a lighter skinned individual. So these are all different types of negative negative advantages that that darker skinned people have to deal with because of the color of their skin, and like and it is a form of racism when you it's a different form of racism.
That's true.
Then we get into all these other things with the because of the negative impact of dark skinned Black people. You get into the skin lightening industry.
Yes.
You know, and that in itself.
That was really huge.
The beauty industry is.
Even, I mean, so much so because, I mean, besides like probably like two brands or something, but in the makeup, no one has come out with a makeup line until like Rihanna really stepped on the scene and changed the whole game for creating, you know, multiple shades that got really dark, where it's like, wow, this is for me. And it's not just like you said all shades and then you stopped at somebody that was still light, you know. So yeah, I think that is
I do I see that a lot, and the same thing when we're talking about you talking about the makeup skin lightening industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry and profiting from the stigmatization of dark skin, you know, and now that's everywhere. That's India,
Asia, Jamaica,
Caribbean. Jamaica.
I remember seeing the videos. I'm like, wow.
And so, and that industry, people bleaching their skin, you know, they want to be lighter. It's because the stigmatization that is left of dark-skinned people, and people don't want to be dark because of that stigma. They don't want to be dark-skinned because it's a stigma attached to it. And we see it all, we see it with the basketball stars, the athletes that, you know, I have yet to see one athlete that has a dark-skinned girlfriend or wife.
They've been talking about that on social media. They call them out too.
I have yet to see it.
And then they'll say, like, for the ones that did, like, they'll have the girlfriend that's been with them, you know, before they were even famous, she was dark skinned. So, you know, like they'll have her, you know, all the way through. And then once they're famous, it's like that, you know, people have been saying they switch those out and then get a lighter skin version of whatever. And that's kind of been true. I mean, they have the pictures and the information. I'm like, well,
yeah, they.
And I mean, obviously, it's for different reasons, but also that is colorism in a lot of instances as well.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And what does that actually say? That says that, you know, if I have a lighter skin woman on my arm, that is my standard of beauty. It falls back into that's the standard of beauty. You have the money, you have the girl, fair skin. It goes back into that is the standard of beauty.
Yeah.
And until we get to a point where we are actually having an honest conversation about colorism, we need to get to a place where it is absolutely intolerable to judge someone based on the color of their skin tone.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And just within the last minute that we have, I absolutely agree. And the fact that, like you said, we do need to have conversations and, you know, especially have them, you know, with our friend groups, you know, as well, because, you know, a lot of us have different, obviously, you know, friends of different skin tones and such. And I think, I don't know where it was from, but I was on a call or something, a conference or whatever, but they were saying, you know, we can't treat all Black people like we all experience the same things just because we're Black, which is true.
Yes.
But a lot of people have that. They're like, oh, you Black, so you get it. It's like, no, actually, I'm more on this side, or this is my take on it, or this is my experience rather than what you've been through. Like, I acknowledge that, but let me tell you my story.
Yes. And I want to say, lastly, I think, to your point, an understanding of colorism, not only will the person be educating themselves, but I think it will allow the individual to have more informed and effective conversations about race and skin color. Yeah. And I think the more we talk about it, even though for some it may be uncomfortable, the more we can take the necessary steps to learn about colorism so that we can properly address it.
Yes. So we're going to do that, everybody. Okay. I want to work harder, especially to last thing, you know, just being in the, you know, media literature field, just all of these different things, you know, it's important for me as well to have darker skin characters, you know, and not just always have them be the sideline or, you know, the underdog or whatever. All right, so it looks like we're out of time. That was actually a really good conversation. That went well. And so I hope you guys just stuck around for that and you know, benefited you in some way. And so thank you for being here again, Dr. Carol Van Dyke.
Thank you.
Yes, and I will see you next week.
Yes, you will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I really, really enjoyed this segment. I hope these conversations are causing you to think about your life and experiences as well. But also, I hope these conversations encourage you all to, you know, just start talking about these topics, start talking about colorism within your, with your family group, your, you know, your friend group, and just really have these open conversations that allow healing, but allow growth, allow, you know, knowledge. Knowledge is power. And so that we just all kind of advance and become more aware in these topics. And so that's why we're having, one of the reasons why we are having these conversations, Dr. Van Dyke and I. And so maybe that, you know, you change your perspective that you didn't have in the beginning. And so Dr. Van Dyke and I wanted to come together, you know, this season so that you all are empowered, encouraged, and to start to make a real change in your life that is not only beneficial for you, right, but other areas of your life as well. As you're, you know, you're in your friendships, your relationships, at your job, in college, wherever you may be, whatever this journey of life is looking like for you, we wanted these segments to show up for you guys in a way that maybe you weren't showing up for yourself before. And I hope you keep tuning in, because we only have 2 Wednesday episodes left. Next Wednesday, we will be discussing relationships and sex. And you don't want to miss that. We're just coming at you guys and just really dropping some knowledge, but, you know, also from a Christian place. We are Christians and we're not ashamed of that at all. And so we, you know, we bring that into our experiences, into all of our experiences. And that's how we live our lives. And so we just want to share a little bit of that with you guys as well. Also, if this was your first time listening to a Wednesday episode, I encourage you all to just go back and listen to the early episodes where we discuss breaking generational curses and body image. And of course, you know, just thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. It means so much to me. You know, I always say, whether it's a small crowd or a large crowd or anything in between, I'm just so happy that you guys are showing up, because this is a community and it's just growing to be a larger one, you know, surprisingly with male audience as well. So I'm just excited for anybody and everybody who just comes to the podcast and takes time to support and listen to Black women's stories. Speaking of Black women, if you want to know more about Dr. Van Dyke or book an appointment, you can contact her at drcarolvandyke.com. That's drcarolvandyke.com. For all updates on the podcast, you can turn on your notifications, add this episode to your favorites, and subscribe. I also love seeing, when I pull up, you know, my analytics for the podcast, I also love seeing how many people are not only streaming it, but downloading it and saving it for later. That's super exciting. I'm so happy you guys are doing that, as I know many people do that with podcasts. But, you know, like I said, I'm just starting out. And so I'm happy that you guys are engaged. So for any general updates on the podcast, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. That's LaurenTateBooks. LinkedIn and Facebook at Lauren Tate. Until then, you know, keep your ears and eyes peeled for our last Feature Friday this season. It came so fast, but it's going to be so good. Lastly, don't forget to share this episode with someone and on social media. And never forget that you are important, you are loved, and your story is worth being told. Thank you.